Your aunt is so weird. Why are we doing this again? Christine asked, half kidding. I couldn't help but be a bit annoyed. Margie was my aunt. I was allowed to make fun of her. Everybody else wasn't supposed to. But everyone else did mock her. Constantly. The whole sprawling community seemed to think she was a joke. She was a disgraced scientist who'd been kicked out of a professorship at MIT and made to return home to our mountainous region of Western Canada due to a lack of other job opportunities in her field. She had been blackballed by the entire scientific community, at least one would think if you searched her name online. She essentially lived as a hermit now, secluded in a rickety old home in the woods halfway up Mount Dynasty. It was rigged up with a myriad assortment of odd inventions that functioned like Rube Goldberg machines to keep her life running in its slipshod way. Picture Rick Moranis in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and you'll be on the right track. Or maybe Wallace and Gromit, since she had a dog who served as a well-trained assistant and loyal companion to her. We were driving up there to see her, and I was doing my best to navigate the wandering forest road, getting out every so often to move fallen tree branches, further indication that no one had been up there to visit her but us. There had been a big storm a couple of days prior, and I was concerned that it had knocked out her power and that she could be in trouble, since she hadn't been returning my phone calls since then. I'm just worried about her, the way she sounded on the phone the other day, and now she's not even picking up when I call. I just want to check on her quickly, then we can go, okay? Christine sighed and went back to looking at her phone, scrolling through stories from other people's lives and reading about more toxic relationships on the website that seemed to specialize in that. I can't believe this guy. His wife works and does everything around the house, cleaning, laundry, the works, and all he has to do is cook, and he just makes mac and cheese for dinner every night. Then he gets mad when she asks him to cook something else for a change. What an asshole. Are you reading more of those stories again? I can't help it. People are terrible, you know that. Yeah, I know. The bouncing up and down of the vehicle as it went over roots and rocks and puddles eventually became too much for her to bear, and she put the phone into her coat. What did she say again? Huh? The other day, when she called, what did she say that freaked you out so much? She said there was some asteroid or meteor or something that had come down from the sky, that there was a loud boom and everything lit up bright green for a few seconds. She's probably high on mushrooms again. Remember last year when we drove all the way out here because she said her water turned purple? Yeah, I mean, she didn't sound too disjointed this time, but she did say she was going to look for the meteor up on the mountain. I mean, if it was a meteor, that would be cool. But why would the sky turn green? I saw that dashcam video from Russia where the meteor lit up the sky, but it turned white, not green. I don't know. Here it is, finally. We rounded a corner and saw the house coming up in the distance. Margie's dog, Scout, came running up to the car to greet us. Scout looked different. He was glowing green, first of all, like plutonium at the power plant in the Simpsons cartoon. This made me nervous to get out of the car, but then I saw Margie walking out towards us too, and my concern overtook my sense of caution. She was also glowing, just slightly, that same eerie green glow. Hey Jason, nice of you to come all the way up here to see your dear old Aunt Margie. I missed you too. She was rambling under her breath still, and muttering so quietly I couldn't make out the words. Before I could stop her, she'd embraced me in a hug and squeezed me tightly for a few seconds before moving on to give Christine a big kiss on the cheek and a bear hug as well. Come on inside, I've got coffee brewing and I made up a few sandwiches for lunch. Christine looked over at me nervously, and I mouthed something wordlessly to her about how we'd only stay for a few minutes. The three of us walked inside with Scout luminescing at our heels. My aunt's faithful dog was making strange noises that weren't quite barks or woofs, but sounded almost human, like he was trying to say something. Run was probably what he was trying to say in retrospect. It came out sounding like rumph. We got inside the house and I immediately noticed an odd humming sound that seemed to be emanating from somewhere in the basement where Margie's lab and office were located. What's that sound, Aunt Margie? I asked. Oh, just the downstairs fridge acting up again, probably. Nothing to be worried about. Now come on over to the table and have a seat for a few minutes." Plates had already been made up for us, with egg salad sandwiches on them, chips piled high and coleslaw. It was like she had been expecting us. She went over to the counter in the kitchen, where a full pot of coffee was brewing. I noticed she already had 3 mugs set out, and I recalled again how I hadn't been able to reach her to tell her we were coming. The coffee pot was lifted from its spot by a robotic arm, which proceeded to pour it into the cups without spilling a drop. Her technology seemed to be running much more smoothly than on my last visit, when I had suffered first-degree burns after one of her robots served hot tea all over my lap. She brought over steaming cups of coffee and set them in front of us, looking pleased with how we were already digging into our sandwiches. I couldn't help it. They smelled delicious and were indeed just as good as they looked. With my mouth full, I decided to address the green glowing elephant in the room, reluctantly. So, what's with the whole green glow you've got going on there? Great sandwiches, by the way. Top notch. You really outdid yourself. Christine nodded and said, "Mm-hmm," with a mouthful. "Oh, thanks. Glad you like them. I guess the whole glowing green business started when I brought that meteor back from my hike up in the mountain. It's down in the lab where I've been running various experiments with it. I guess I hadn't really given it much thought until now. I've been too busy. Since that night, I've been having a million different ideas." Her eyes looked slightly manic as she paced, talking about the night she brought the meteor back. Soon she was rambling quietly and under her breath again, and I asked her what she was saying, since I couldn't understand. "Nothing, nothing. Do you want to see it? It's going to change everything." Despite a part of me growing increasingly panicked and terrified, more and more by the second, I felt an overwhelming urge to relax, to calm down. I couldn't understand where it was coming from, but it was suddenly impossible to ignore. I can't explain why, but suddenly, I really did want to see it. An uncontrollable desire was inserted deep within my mind by something powerful beyond my understanding. "Sure, yes, I would like to see the meteor." The words came out of my mouth effortlessly and without deliberation. No, this isn't right. None of this is right. My terrified thoughts shouted in protest. "Yes, I would also like to see," Christine said in a monotone voice. She took Christine's hand, then led us down to the basement and into a lab. Despite the darkness, the whole space was glowing green, as if a bright fluorescent light was shining from somewhere in the depths of the basement. Things like veins or tree roots grew along the walls and ceiling everywhere, extending outwards from the lab space. They were growing insidiously, their spread barely perceptible to the naked eye as they took over the basement, a subtle green glow barely noticeable within them. As we got into the lab proper, I saw a much brighter glow emanating from something in the corner where the roots were spreading out from. It looked like an eyeball, enveloped in root and webbing, pulsating with energy and emitting a low hum that rattled the fillings in my teeth and made my eyes water. "This is my baby. It's giving me all sorts of ideas on how to make things better. Do you feel it, filling up the dark spaces in your mind? It'll make a nest there and live with you always. You will glow with the warmth of its power." The words hit my mind, and I felt spikes of terror running like knives down my spine. My breaths were coming in ragged bursts, and I was suddenly sick, like I wanted to vomit. But all of these urges were being supplanted by something else. We walked over toward the meteor, and I saw it was pulsing as we drew near. I heard foreign thoughts entering my head, spoken in an alien language, which I did not understand at first, but then it became clear. Everything became clear. The pulsating, glowing thing on the table that was a giant green eye looked towards me. It reached into my mind, and I felt it probing and pulling at my thoughts, putting things back how it preferred and moving on to other sections of my memories. My hidden desires and every shameful secret uncovered and exposed to a great, powerful green spotlight that shone into my consciousness and filled it with new thoughts, new theories, new insights, and plans. It began to insert itself there, and I felt a warm presence fill my being. There were veins extending out from the meteor and attaching themselves to my feet, crawling up my legs, And then, after some length of time had passed, feeling like an eternity and a second all at once, they were going into my eyes and mouth, my nose and ears. I felt their tingling tips searching and prodding, and heard the soft rustling of them growing into my skull through my ear canals. Part of my mind felt terrified still, but that frightened, screaming voice in the back of my mind was becoming a bit easier to ignore now. "See, I told you. Do you hear it whispering to you, Jason? It has so many plans for us. It's going to make us better. Just give in to it." Suddenly, everything had a green glow to it, and I realized as I walked back to the car with Christine by my side that it was not the world, but us that were now humming and glowing green with an alien energy that now invaded our bodies. No, not invaded. That's not the right word. "Yes, it is. They're attacking you. They're taking over, don't you see?" My mind was screaming now, screaming, trying to convince me, now that we were away from its power source, that this wasn't right. Scout was tugging at something on my leg, and I saw it was a root from the meteorite. He was pulling at it with his teeth, and as it came free from my skin, I felt it loosen its grip from my mind slightly as well. The dog ripped another piece free, and I had a sudden sense of terrified panic again, overwhelming this time. I reached up and felt the foreign roots on my head and began to pull them off like a scab, one that hadn't quite healed yet, and pulled off the skin with it, causing blood to well up beneath. I pulled more of the roots from my face and felt them tugging in my brain as I ripped them out through my nose and out of my ears. They scraped like fishhooks and screamed in high screeching wails that pierced my mind as I tore them from my body and stomped on them with my boot, silencing them. Scout was pulling at the ones that had ensnared my wife's leg, and Christine followed my lead, and as we tore the green glowing roots from our bodies, I felt my mind shouting in triumph, then heard my aunt screaming as if in pain. She came running out of the house, her nose bleeding. "What did you do to my babies?" she screamed. Her hair was askew, and she looked terrified and angered, hurt and offended. She was carrying a large hunting rifle in her hands. "Oh no. Oh God." Christine tore the last piece of alien growth from her hair, and I saw it had left her scarred and bloodied. We ducked into the car, and I heard a shot ricochet of a tree nearby, and saw my aunt reloading a gun. I turned the key in the ignition and backed up out of the driveway as fast as I could, just barely avoiding another shot from a rifle that hit my rearview mirror, but at least missed us. Nearly going off the road, I managed to turn around the bend and saw her chasing after us through the trees, still trying to shoot at us. Spinning the car around quickly at the first intersection, I managed to get us driving in forward instead of reverse. We drove away at a high rate of speed, and eventually my heart began to slow down ever so slightly, and I took a few seconds to catch my breath. That was when I heard the panting noise from the back seat, and looked behind me to see a glowing green canine sitting there. "I couldn't just leave him there," said Christine, after seeing the expression on my face. "Since that woman back on Mount Dynasty really isn't my aunt anymore, but something else entirely now. I don't feel safe for Scout bringing him back there. At the same time, I'm not too sure about keeping him at our place. I mean, I love dogs, but the telepathic alien radiation might be a bit of a problem. He seems like he feels right at home in our place, though. He's putting down roots already.